Thank you, choir. Take your Bibles, if you will, now, please. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 49. We'll look at verses 30 and 31, Jeremiah 49. And I want to talk to you today a little bit about the deeper life. The deeper life. When we are talking about the deeper life, we're not talking about this pseudo deeper life that a lot of theologians are coming up with, which is more of a cold, dry intellectualism. But we're talking about the kind of deeper life that Paul was talking about when he was talking about knowing the Lord. But in Jeremiah chapter 49, this is a warning that God was giving to the people that were getting ready to be judged. God was going to come down on them, the Hazarites. And in verse 30, he says, "Flee, get you far off, dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazor, saith the Lord, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you." Nebuchadnezzar, that is, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you and hath conceived a purpose against you. Arise, get you up unto the wealthy nation that dwelleth without care, saith the Lord, which have neither gates nor bars, which dwell alone. If you look back over at verse 8, you'll see another admonition of the Lord, where he said to the people of Dedan, who were just visiting that area, "Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, the deeper life, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him." And here's what he's simply saying to them, and we springboard from that thought, but he's saying to them, judgment is going to come. What you need is to get away from all of that, to get away from that particular geographical area, find somewhere in a stone cave so you'll be safe, or in the wilderness, out in the woods, so that you'll be safe. Find a deeper life, a deeper place, a place to flee to. Now, I don't know when God's going to judge this country. I think probably he's already doing it. And we don't know what all's in the future, but we do know this: as believers, we need to flee to the deeper life. That's what God is calling us to do. To really be, to know him better, to be more yielded to him, to have what some would refer to as the deeper life, or to dwell deep with the Lord. The Edomites were going to be judged, as surely as any nation that turns away from God. And God says, "I warn you, go to the deeper life. Go on and dwell deeper." In Hebrews 6:1, the writer of the book of Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul, said, "Let us go on." Let us move forward. New strength. In these days, we need new vision, new strength. We need new courage and new power to do God's will. This is not a time to quit. This is not a time to let up. It's not a time to get discouraged. It's a time to dwell deeper. It's a time to do more for the glory of God. An old preacher prayed one time, "Lord, help us to deeper sink that we may higher rise." And isn't that true? We need to sink deeper our roots in Christ that we can rise higher above the elements, higher above all that we're facing in these days. And when we look at the deeper life, we will find, first of all, that the deeper life means we need to go deeper in the Bible. Go deeper in the Word of God. You say, "Well, preacher, we love the Bible. We love the Word of God." That's good. But you know, most of us need to go deeper into the Bible. Deeper, if you're honest about it, into the Word of God. As I said earlier, not like the theologians are talking about. Here's the way Paul put it: "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us God has revealed them unto us. How? By His capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. And the author of the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that should guide us. The psalmist said in 119 verse 103, "How sweet," referring to the Bible, "how sweet are thy words unto my taste." Is the Word of God sweet to you today? How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now honey's pretty sweet, isn't it? I'm one of those guys that no matter what I eat, as soon as I finish, I want something sweet. My mother used to keep a little syrup pitcher. We call it syrup down in Louisiana. A little syrup pitcher on the table. And I would always, no matter what I was eating, I might finish it out with cornbread and syrup. Or I might finish it out with a biscuit and syrup. I was eating lunch with Dean Wimberly yesterday, and we got through, and I had a biscuit left. And after we'd been out on visitation, and I said, "Excuse me a minute, I got to go get something sweet." So I went up and got some jelly and put it on that biscuit. But nothing is sweeter than honey that I know of. Honey is so sweet. My dad used to raise honey. That is, the bees took care of it. We had the honey, he had the hives and all of that. And I did not rob them. He robbed them. But I enjoyed that sweet honey. Well, God says the Bible ought to be like that sweet, sweeter than honey. The Word of God. I ask you today, is it really that to you? Is the Bible really sweeter? Do you spend time with it? We spend most of our time watching television, playing games, texting, doing all of that, email, Facebook, tweeting on Twitter or whatever it is, twitting on Twitter. Somebody ought to write a poem about that. Probably have. But I'm telling you, we need to get in the Word of God. We need to stay in the Word of God. It is sweet. Well, how sweet is it? It's sweet when you sin. Because you go to the Word of God in 1 John 1:9, and the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To whom was that written? Saved folks. Aren't you glad today that we can go to the Bible? The Bible reminds us that if we fail God, we can go to Him and confess our sins. And I have had to do that many a time. And I'm thankful that it's there. That we can confess our sins. How sweet that is. Wouldn't it be terrible if we regathered those things as God's children and just had to hang on to them and had no way to confess them? You can't confess them to me. All right? I'm not Father Willie. You're not going to confess them to me. You better confess them to God. But God tells us we can confess them. And we can do that. It's sweet to those who need comfort. The Word of God is sweet to those who need comfort. Isaiah said in 43:2, "When thou passest through the waters." Have you been through some waters lately? Deep waters is what he's talking about. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The rivers, they shall not overflow thee." You see, God knows exactly how tall you are and how much of the water can come up. But we know that He is there to comfort us during those times of the deep valleys, the rivers like floods, the rivers of heartache and disappointment that come our way. And some of you entered the building just like that today. But you remember this. We go to the Word of God and He says, "I will be with you." Whatever you're going through today, He is with you. The Word of God is sweet when our mind is troubled. Did you ever have troubleness of mind? Psalm 119, 130. God says, "The Word, it giveth understanding to the simple." I surely am glad that that's in the Bible because I am very simple. I'm a very simple person. That is me. That's many of us, and probably most of us in some measure. But you know, God loves simple people. And God loves for simple people to talk to Him. And God is there when our mind is troubled. And we need to go to the Word of God and know that He has the answer for it, and He'll calm you down. The best counseling in the world is Bible counseling. I've told you before, I teach Christian counseling at Crown College, and I teach nouthetic counseling, biblical counseling. because I know that the Word of God is the most powerful instrument and thing that can help a troubled mind or an emotionally troubled person. It's the Word of God. There may be some other things that are there, but it's the Word of God that's going to do it. And we need to realize that God wants to clear up some things in our mind. Sometimes I get a little confused about some things. And maybe you do too. But I found out God is the unconfuser. Amen? Go to His Word and He'll straighten it out. And He'll give you the answers every time if we go to His Word. It's sweet to those who are weak. And all of us have faced that at times. We realize our weaknesses today. Hopefully we realize that. That's not a bad thing. But we have to understand too, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you're feeling weak, just know to go to the Lord and claim the promise of the Word of God. I'm not good on all of the original languages as such. I've had 140 hours of Greek. It took me 140 hours of class time to graduate from the seminary, and it was all Greek to me. But at any rate, I do know this about this verse, what he is saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It means he keeps pouring it out and keeps pouring it out and keeps giving us the strength. His strength, thank God, never runs out. I'm glad his strength never runs out, because I need it and you need it. We all need it. He never says to us, I'm too weak to help you out today. Aren't you glad God never gets weak? I've had times that I made requests of my dad years ago, and he was too weak or too sick for some reason, maybe a sickness, that he wasn't able to do that at that time, or my mother. But God is always all-powerful. He never gets sick. He never gets weak. He didn't say, don't bother me today, son or daughter. Come back tomorrow. He says, I can handle that right now. I never get weak. And so he's there for us. That's his promise. He is giving us the Word of God for the brokenhearted. I get phone calls and letters and emails almost daily, just about daily, from somebody who has a tragedy or a broken heart or some problem. And they just come. They're there. They're all over the place. And I myself, as most of you, have been there when there was brokenness over something that we had no control over. Maybe somebody that we loved died, and died prematurely. Somebody that we had not anticipated they were going to go out into eternity. Maybe it was a bad wreck and there was some physical problems that lasted because of that. Maybe a financial reversal. I don't know. But I know that many times we're brokenhearted. Sometimes it's a family member that might break our hearts. Sometimes it's a loved one that breaks our heart. But I can tell you, and God promises that God will heal us, and God will heal a broken heart. Aren't you glad for that today? Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see, when God allows these things in our life, He just wants to grow us and build us up in the faith. And we just go to the Word of God, go deeper in the Bible, and you'll discover that God allows those things for His purpose. One of our ladies whose mother was killed accidentally the other day, we called it an accident, God allowed it. And I was talking to her in the hallway yesterday, and I said, how are things going? And she was telling me about it. She said, oh, by the way, I've got some good news. I said, well, great. She said, my stepfather got saved because of that. And he stood up in the service during the funeral and said, could I say something? And they said, yeah. The pastor told him, yes. What can you say? Whatever you like to say, you go ahead and say. And he said, I just want everybody to know I got saved. I really got saved. See, God knows what He's doing, why He allows things. Some things He causes, some things He allows. But I know if we go to the Word of God, by faith we can accept it. Romans 8:28, probably one of my favorite verses. We know that all things work to good, together for the good, for those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Not everything is good, but it all works together for good. And God will use it if we'll just let God use it. And we have the promise of the Word of God. It gives us comfort whenever we've lost a loved one. I'm glad for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following. And he says that we're not to be as those that have no hope. And he tells us not to weep as those who have no hope, for we have hope. For we know that one of these days the Lord himself is going to come from heaven with a shout in the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And thank God the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which remain and alive shall meet them in the clouds in the air and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. A lot of people are mixed up about the Bible, and I feel sorry for them. You see, this book does not contain the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. It is the very Word of God. And thank God for the hope that the Word of God gives us. We go to it over and over. I would not give a dime to a Bible college or a seminary that taught that this was not the Word of God. I wouldn't have any part to do with any kind of corporation or any kind of program or anything, no matter who it is, independent or otherwise, if they didn't teach that the Bible is the Word of God and teach inerrancy. And always, in every age, it comes back up. But thank God there are some out there that do it. I personally would not want to send my child to a Bible college that would tear down the Word of God, to any kind of college that would tear down the Word of God. I'd rather send them to a good Christian college where they honored the Word of God. It is God's Word. And then we need to go deeper in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I know the Lord. Well, Paul said he knew the Lord, but he said he wanted to know Him better. And Job said something about it in Job 22:21, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Now listen, acquaint yourself with Him. Get more acquainted with God, with Christ, the knowledge of Christ, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. You want good to come to you? Do you want good things to happen to you? Good things to come to you? Then get acquainted with Jesus. Know Him better. Better acquainted you are with Jesus, the Bible says, the more good that is going to come your way. And all of us need to know Him better. And God, need to know God deeper. Go deeper in our knowledge of God. And the way you do that, spend a lot of time with Him. Spend a lot of time in the Word of God. You see, it's possible to be a church member who's been baptized and not know Jesus Christ. You say, well, when did that ever happen? How about Judas? He was one of the 12 that walked around with Jesus and all of that, went through all of the motions. Went through all the motions, like a lot of people who joined the church. They say, I joined the church. Or you say, I joined the church. Friend, you better have more than just joining the church and water on you. It's more than that. Judas Iscariot died and went to hell, though he walked around with truth in Jesus Christ and followed Him in many of those things. It is also possible for somebody in our churches to make a profession. There are a lot of people who have been baptized, joined church, that are lost. I'm saying you better know Jesus. That's what I'm saying. The Ethiopian eunuch, you remember, he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? There's plenty of water. By the way, it wasn't a thimbleful or a panful. It was a Jordan River. It was a bunch of water. And he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, there's absolutely nothing if thou really and truly believest. He went back and said, do you really believe? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, I've got that settled. I believe Jesus died for me, paid my sin debt, and I would be going to hell if I didn't get saved. That's what would happen to me. And he really meant it. He really got saved. And so Philip said, we'll just go ahead and take care of baptizing. Whoa, horse, let's go down in the water. Amen? Because he knew that he really knew the Lord Jesus Christ. There were three guys in the Bible that seem to know Jesus a little better. Peter, James, and John. Sort of an inner circle. They were there when a lot of things happened. When he raised a girl from the dead on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were there. In the garden, they were there. They went a little further, but they didn't go as perhaps deep as they could. And Jesus asked the question, "What could you not watch with me 1 hour?" They even still failed him, that inner circle. I'm saying that we need to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be like him. Mary, Luke 10:42, Mary had chosen that good part. Well, what was that good part that she chose? Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What was she doing when he said that? She was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Martha was busy cleaning house. Mary was at the feet of Jesus learning about what was going to happen. Know him as Savior. Know him as your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Know him as your sanctifier, the one who will make you holier, your advocate, your king. We need to go deeper in the knowledge of Christ. And yeah, I'm going to get around to this, and you know I would. Go deeper in soul winning. Go deeper in soul winning. Why mention it, preacher? Because a lot of people are not doing it anymore. Used to, our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches were churches that were soul-winning churches. People witnessed. If they didn't witness, they at least did the second best thing, and most of them did that, but they would tell their friends, "Come to my church. Please come with me to my church and hear my preaching and hear our music. I want you to come with me." They were always inviting unsaved people, getting them under the sound of the gospel so they could be saved. We need to go deeper in soul winning. Amen? You say, "Well, these are the last days, preacher, don't you know?" They may be, but that's all right. We're to go ahead and soul win and witness and tell people. You say, "Well, you might tell the wrong person." No. Mark 16:15 says, "To every creature." You can't tell the wrong person to be saved. You hyper-Calvinists can put that in your pipe and smoke it. You can't tell the wrong person to be saved. Tell them. You say, "Well, it's the wrong house." Sometimes we give out cards and somebody will come back. They'll take the card with them, go out, knock on the door, ring the doorbell and say, "Is this Mr. Smith?" And they'll say, "No, my name's not Smith. My name's Jones." "Oh, I'm sorry." They'll stick it back in the pocket, come back to the church and say, "Preacher, you gave me a wrong address and the wrong name." "No, I didn't." No matter who it is, the Bible says every house. Acts 5:42, did you ever think it might have been the providence of God that you wound up at so-called the wrong house to tell the wrong person that Jesus died for them? Tell them. You didn't make a mistake. God just lets it happen. And so it's that way. If somebody calls your house and they ask for someone that you do not know, whatever the name might be, why don't you just say, and you'll say, "Well, he doesn't live here, she doesn't live here," and they say, "Well, I have the wrong number." You say, "Oh, no, you don't have the wrong number. Think about this. You've called the right person. I've got some good news for you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and would you let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ?" All that mail you get in the mail and they put a stamp on the thing or postage paid, don't throw it in the trash. Put a track in it. Send it back to them. Amen? Tell them how to be saved. You say, "That's silly, preacher." No, go deeper in soul winning. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a drought." In other words, going out there, and he did, and the net broke. Sometimes I think we need to go deeper in soul winning. We're looking for tadpoles in shallow water. We need to get out there in the deep. Get on out there where they are. Get out. The best way to get burdened for somebody that's lost is go meet them. And then you'll be burdened. Make your prayer list and be praying for them. You say, "Oh, that's old stuff, preacher. You're not going to get me upset about it." That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you the truth about it. We should be people no matter what, who telling other people about Jesus Christ, so that people are constantly walking the aisles of our church, coming for public profession of their faith in Jesus Christ. Thank God for people who win people to Christ. Thank God for people who invite people to come to church. They get saved and they are able to go back and thank that person. Thank you for inviting me to church. I came and I got saved. Then we need to go deeper in prayer. Are you listening? Go deeper in prayer. You see, prayer is where the power is. Prayer is the power getter. It's the victory giver. Prayer is the holiness promoter. It is the dispute adjuster. You that are having problems in your home, it is the obstacle remover, the sin killer, the heart warmer, the soul cleaner. Prayer is the Christ revealer. You want to know Jesus better, get on your knees. Spend a lot of time in prayer. How much time do you spend in prayer every day with the Lord? Oh, preacher, don't you know that we live in such a busy society? Oh, yeah, I know it's busy. My schedule's pretty busy itself. But I want to tell you, you better have time for prayer. You've got to have time for prayer. My itinerant preacher in evangelism was out preaching, and he was concerned about his children. Had a number of children at home, hated to be gone so often. One night he got through with his speaking engagement. He came back and quietly he came up on the porch and looked through the window, and his wife was knelt down on her knees there with the children praying. And she was praying something like this: "Oh God, be with my husband, be with Daddy as he's out preaching, and bless him and use him. And God, take care of him. And Lord, I just pray that all of our children are going to be saved. They're going to come to Jesus Christ." And when he heard that, he said, "I'm not worried about it anymore. God will save them. Things will be all right. And I've got to go on doing what God called me to do." We need to go deeper in the power of God. The power of God. In the modern day church, the 21st century church, we don't know a lot about the power of God. A.W. Tozer, if you've never read some of his works, you ought to read them. And another preacher had met him, was talking to him, and he said, "Ask Tozer, how can I have the power of God in my life?" Would you jot these things down and listen? Do you want the power of God in your life? This is good stuff right here. Not because I'm saying it, but because it's biblical. How can I have the power of God in my life? Do you even want the power of God in your life? Do we want the power of God in our church and in our lives? Do we? We should want the power of God. Here's the first thing he told them: you've got to have a broken will. A broken will. You know, Jesus prayed three times, didn't he? "Not my will, but thine be done." You and I have to come to the place, if we're going to have power of God, we've got to get our sinful will and stubborn will out of the way. And we have to have a broken spirit, a broken will. "Not my will, God, but thine be done." It's not about me, God. It's about you. It's about your glory and your honor and doing your will. That's what it should be. Secondly, he said you need to have a clean heart. A clean heart. The psalmist prayed in 139, a couple of verses there, 23 and 24, and he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The psalmist opened up his heart to God and said, "Search me, God, thoroughly, totally, search me. And if you find anything in there, put your finger on it so I can get it right." We need to have a clean heart before God. And he said, you've got to be also an empty vessel. An empty vessel. Most of us are too full of ourselves. The number one person we're concerned with is ourselves. If somebody hands you a picture of a group, who do you look at first? Not your mother-in-law. You always look at yourself. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." You'll never be filled with the Spirit if you're filled with self. You cannot fill up that glass until you empty it. We must be empty of self, selfishness, those sins that we're trying to hang on to that we won't let go of. We got to get all that trash and junk and pride and stuff out of our life. Get it out of that cup, that practice sin that we won't let go of. Let God fill us with His Holy Spirit. And then he said you need to have a clear vision of Christ. A clear vision of Christ. You know, when Stephen was being stoned, I don't think he even paid a whole lot of attention to the last few stones that pelted him to death. Because the Bible says, Stephen said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. If we could just focus on Christ, if we could see Jesus and have a clear vision of Jesus. Tozer said, I don't think he saw who was throwing the stones because he had a clear vision of Jesus Christ. Glue your eyes. We must glue our eyes on the Son of God. And then he said, live a crucified life. Live a crucified life. What does that mean, preacher? Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's not me, it's Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, down here, not up there, down here in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For me. Tozer told the story of two students that came to him and said, I don't quite understand that, being dead to sin and all of that. Could you explain it to me? And he said, well, here's what I want you to do. They had had someone that had passed away that was attending that particular institution. And he said, I want you to go out there. You know where he was buried. We were at the funeral. Go out there and stand by the grave. And I want you to think of every bad thing that you did not like about that person. And I want you to stand there and just call out all of those bad things. All of the faults, all of the failings of that man. Call them all out. And so they did it. Came back and he said, all right, tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. They said, we told him how sorry he was and this, that, and the other and all these kind of things, that all these bad things about him. He said, well, what did he say? He said, well, he didn't say a word. He said, all right, now I want you to go back and do another thing. He said, you go back out to the same place and compliment him. All the great things, all the good things you can think about that man, and just stand there and just tell him all about the good things. And they came back and he said, you do what I told you? He said, yes. And what did he say? He didn't say anything. You see, folks, that's what we're talking about. Dead to self. We have no right. We reckon ourselves to be dead to the power of sin. And when the old devil strolls by and says, you come do this, you do this. I want you to commit adultery. I want you to use pot. I want you to use drugs. I want you to take alcohol. I want you to get involved in premarital sex. I want you to do all these bad things. Just don't answer him. If you got something to say to him, say, I can't do it. I'm dead to your power. I don't have to do it. I died in Christ the day he died on the cross. I was buried with Christ, and thank God I rose with Christ. And I don't have to lose the battle, and I don't have to listen to your lies. I am dead in Christ. Well, where's the power gone in our churches these days? Well, we need to dwell deeper. That's all I can tell you. We need to have the deeper life, the real deeper life, the spiritual deeper life, be filled with the Spirit to have power. How are we going to do it? The Word of God. Go deeper in the Word. Go deeper in the knowledge of Christ. Go deeper in soul winning. Go deeper in prayer. Go deeper in the power of God. And when we do that, folks, we'll have a new vision. We'll have strength that we didn't think we had. We'll have power with God. This church will be a much more powerful church. and we'll see many more results, which I think we all want to do, unless we're just running a little social club to love everybody locally here. It's all right to have fellowship, and I love you, and I hope you love me, but we need to have more than that. If you just want a social club, join the Kiwanis Club or the Odd Fellas if you're an odd fella. But we need a new vision and strength and power to do God's will. May I remind you, the deeper life begins at the cross. It begins at the cross. If you've never been born again, you'll never dwell deep. And I'm telling you, judgment is going to come, and God's warning you, dwell deep. Find your place of refuge, and the only refuge there is Jesus Christ. He died, paid for your sins. He's the only one. Rush to Him. Go to Him. Get born again. When you get born again, then you start living. You don't start living the spiritual life till you're born again. You can do everything in the world you want to do to try to improve and get to heaven. It'll not help you at all. It starts at the cross. You must be born again. Then you grow in the Lord. Then you seek the deeper life. In your gratitude and love for what He's done for you, you'll say, God, I need something more than I have. I need to dwell deeply. Would you do that? And if you're not saved today, come to Christ. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed for a moment. My dear friend, listen to me very carefully. No one leaving or moving around unless it's absolutely necessary. This is the invitation time. It's important. Our workers are getting in place. Dear friend, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, you're not saved, the deeper life begins with being born again. You cannot begin to grow, no more than you could until you were conceived in your mother's womb begin to grow as a person. You cannot grow until you receive Christ as your Savior. Do you desire the deeper life? Do we really want it? How well are you doing in these areas that I mentioned today? How well are you doing? Is there room for improvement? Is there room to dwell deeper? Would you come and make a commitment to God and determine to do that today? Father, bless the Word of God, Your holy Word. Give us a thirst and hunger to desire to dwell in the deeper life, the spiritual life. Lord, help us if we have let up in some of these areas. Help us to come back and have a revival in our hearts about them, oh God. Bible reading, getting closer to You, letting the Spirit of God lead us. Soul winning. God, help us. Help that person that is nearest hell right now to come to Christ. In His name I pray.